This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail. Till Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor, saying you can be out here. Peace. Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 53. This episode is brought to you by Orange Beach Invasion. It's the weekend of March 16th in Orange Beach, Alabama. Make sure you look up Orange Beach Invasion on Facebook. Now, on episode 53, we got the homie Jason, a.k.a. Pringle, and he's coming at you from Kindigget Designs, which is the hit Velocity TV show Bitchin' Rides. Pringle is a real good, humble guy. And we just want to give a big shout out to everybody there at Kindigget Designs. They are a superstar shop. They produce some of the baddest vehicles. I got a chance to meet Kev Dog and Dave a couple years ago at SEMA over at Hogs and Heifers. Really, really good, down-to-earth, humble guys. Lots of talented people that work at that shop. It's amazing. I hope to visit it one day. We reached out to Pringle, and Pringle said, "Sure, man, I'll come on." He's had his hands on so many different vehicles there. You'll see him from time to time on TV. I know he's not, he doesn't like to jump in front of the camera, but he gets the job done, and he's a true mini trucker at heart. He's really kind of moved up the ranks, and he's doing his thing there at Kindigget Designs on Bitchin' Ride. So very, very, very stoked for the Airhead Nation to hear this interview. So we've got that bake. We'll go ahead and get into that. But first, want to give a huge shout out to Dave T from Stances Everything. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for all the listens, all the texts, the feedback. You know, the homie Dale Hughes from up in Canada came down. I didn't mention this yet. Came down a few weeks ago to kind of just veg out in Florida. Stayed with his homie over in Orlando. He drove over from Orlando, stopped by, visited a couple people over here, got a chance to have dinner with them. He texted me the other night, said, "Hey, really enjoyed Stances Everything." And what's ironic is Dave T from up in that way, I don't think that they live even that far apart, which is definitely a small world. But Dale Hughes, real good guy. He's on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure if you're not friends with him, you look him up. He's from Canada. Real down-to-earth dude. Now, before we get into the interview with Pringle, we're going to talk some scene updates. And I wanted to start off with saying our friend Jake Meadows, a.k.a. Rendered by Thor, he posted some photos over the weekend. And for those that don't know, if you look on Instagram, it's Rendered by Thor altogether. Jake Meadows is the homie that did the rendering for JFK Ride. He's done a lot of work over the years. Drawing and his artistic abilities is kind of like a hobby side job is the way I'll describe it. I think he has a normal, regular daytime job, but he's scored tons and tons of renderings. I first saw his work years ago in Mini Truckin' Magazine. He had a really insane Nissan crew cab. I think it was a Frontier that was laid out, had some crazy, ragtop in it. Just really, really badass artwork. And he's done a lot of Lincoln renderings, Cadillacs, trucks, all hand-drawn, of course. Very, very talented. Now, on Rendered by Thor, he posted one photo that caught my attention. So Dave Shulman of Acrophobia fame, he purchased the Escalade known as the Don. That was a truck that debuted at well, I think it debuted at SEMA a couple years ago, built by Fat Fabs. So that Escalade, that brand new Escalade, now resides in the Orlando area. So I don't know if it was like a Cars and Coffee type thing, but it was a local show and that was out there. So Jake snapped a photo of it. Now he also, this being Dave, he sold his Cadillac from what I saw on Instagram. Had those fresh Colorado custom wheels on it. Lots of stuff done to this red Cadillac. He sold that, and then it looks like the license plate is now on the Escalade, and it was like Dragalac or something like that. But you know, big stuff for the state of Florida. So for all the Florida homies out there, you know, making moves. Dave Shulman, you know, he's got the Ford that debuted at SEMA by Fat Fabs. That thing is insane. Now he's got the Don Escalade. And the Cadillac is gone, so he's steady flipping stuff over there, which is dope. So definitely make sure you check out Rendered by Thor on Instagram. As I said, real good dude. Now, we were going to try to sync up with Tim from Surreal Customs, and that's S-U-R-E-A-L, Customs with a Z. And our schedules didn't align tonight. He had some things going on. I know this weekend, it's kind of short notice. We'll do a better job next year of really promoting this event. He hosts, I guess you could say, it's an annual barbecue bash. It's going to be Saturday the 17th at 11 a.m. It goes for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. It's got a lot of people invited. Looks like a lot of people are going to be going. If you're in the Tampa Bay area or the surrounding area and you happen to catch this podcast when it posts Friday morning, make sure you try to make it out to Surreal Customs Barbecue Bash. We can get you on the invite if you got questions or you can't find it. I'm hoping the homie Tony Boss Bolin will roll out in the red 65. So trying to convince him. He's got a few things going on Saturday, as I do as well. It's definitely going to be a beautiful day. I think it's high of 77. And it's over at 2525 Felipe Parkway. So I won't even pronounce Tim's last name. But you guys know Tim. You know his Toyota truck. Surreal Customs. Okay, next. Mob Steel, which a lot of you guys know, I follow them, always love the different builds, Adam and team, what they do there, and his wife Pam, met them at SEMA a couple years ago. Mob Steel, for years, had broken off, and they had the Detroit Steel Wheel Company, and I follow them on Instagram. Anytime they post up wheels, for years, it was like, hey, when are you going to have the 22s? Everybody asked them. Now, for the past couple years, it was, when are you going to have 8-lug wheels? Well, I think it was right before Super Bowl or so, they announced they now have the 8-lug wheels. So a lot of those guys out there in the 1-ton trucks, or you know, they've got the 8-lug hubs and they want to run 8-lug wheels. And you can go through at Detroit Steel Wheel Co. to see those on Instagram. Now LST is next weekend. That's Lone Star Throwdown over in Texas. We're gonna have Lonnie in a Radar on, as well as, of course, Miggity Mike the Mayor to do a wrap-up show. So that's a couple weeks away before we, you know, give them time to have the show, get settled back into their normal routine, and then we'll get them on the horn. We wanted to take this approach because each year we talk a lot about, you know, what the show's going to bring, and then you got to wait a whole nother year to really get an update. With this approach, we're going to go kind of the post show and talk about what went well, any, you know, big things or hits or, you know, things that went down. You know, a couple years ago it was Gas Monkey that showed up and there were a lot of people, doing their thing there. It might have been last year, but, you know, there's some things we're hearing that's going to go down there in a good way. So really looking forward to hearing some of those stories. You may recall Miggity Mike the Mayor. He's going to be going out with Mrs. Mayor. I'm actually skipping the show. I have to work a little bit that weekend on Sunday. Samsung has an announcement, and then the weekend of 316, that's when I took that weekend off so that, of course, I can go to Orange Beach Invasion. If you're not going, you need to make sure you make plans to go to Orange Beach Invasion. You may also hear from Morgan Hernandez. We're going to look for a Morgan Says update to bake into that LST upcoming episode. Now, I mentioned Orange Beach Invasion. Yes, you want to make sure you book the room soon. I can only imagine the wharf that those rooms are filling up quick. I know that we had to finish paying for ours. We had to kind of pay a little deposit and then, you know, pay the rest of it within 4 weeks or so of the show. It's going to be awesome. Cannot wait. Mike and I will be there, as I mentioned on episode 52. And the homie ST Vic, he'll be there as well. So we're going to bring a few vehicles up, hoping for a badass show, awesome weather, and just a good old time. I mentioned Texas Metal on the last episode. Definitely enjoying that show. I kind of have been binge watching this and kind of recording the different episodes. Got a chance to see a few that I hadn't seen, a couple of the reruns. It's great to see Bill Carlton and what that company that he built. Of course, his shirts are done by the homie Adam at Big Time Threads. And, you know, Bill's been doing it, I think the shirt says, since 94. So really kind of a triple OG in the scene. Love to get Bill on in the future, so we'll see how that goes. Now, project update. Some of you are probably wondering, where's Miggity Mike the Mayor? So Mike actually kind of stood me up tonight. No, I'm just kidding, Mike. Mike got a call from his buddy, Keith, and they're over at Gulf Coast Customs tonight. Yes, believe it or not, write it down. Tonight, Mike is working on his Tahoe. So we definitely want to root him on to get that thing done. I know his projects don't quite take as long as mine. I think I've got the record. But Mike is doing his thing, and he's hustling on the Tahoe. That truck is super awesome. A lot of that original work was done at Jimmy's Rod and Customs. Jimmy, one of the most talented guys in the whole entire scene. I'll put money on that. Real good dude. And, of course, Mike's got that Tahoe that his homie used to own, Jim, and they've fully redone tons and tons of stuff. New motor, all kinds of stuff. But we'll have Mike to talk about some updates. Hopefully he's not up there just drinking beer and talking fantasy football and talking the draft and, you know, talking all, you know, his you know, Miggity Mike the Mayor stuff. He's probably talking about Slam Fest and doing it in the dark. But we just wish him luck to get that thing rolling. Now, Smuggler's Blues, my 1964 Lincoln Continental convertible. I've been steady working on this thing for several weeks. Looking forward to kind of getting it buttoned up this weekend. It's pretty much new brakes. Everything's replaced. New brake hoses. Same brake booster, but I essentially did a master. Like I said, all new brake lines. Really, 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 really stoked to get this car rolling. Once I finish the brakes and get the truck back or the car back on the ground, I really need to pull the radiator out and get a hold of the front end of that motor and change up the timing setup. Anyone that knows Lincolns knows that's the first thing you got to do. That damn timing setup on there. The gear is made out of some bullshit they used 50 years ago, and that thing is like a catastrophe waiting to happen. If that thing comes unglued in there, all that shit goes in the oil pan and boom, gets sucked up in the motor. So I could tell you right now, looking at this motor, that's never been done on this one. So I'll be doing that. I'm pretty much on the doing it in the dark / Orange Beach Invasion crunch. So I really want to get this car rolling, enjoy it, make it a family cruiser, just have fun. Last year I drove the 79 Crew Cab Dually Project Golden State. I do still have that. It's kind of on the back burner. I just wasn't driving it as much. And for the classic car insurance that I threw on the Lincoln, I can tell you I'm going to be driving that thing a lot more. So definitely love the C30. Still got it in the stable, so to speak. But we'll kind of see where that one ends up in the whole thick of things. Now, also on Smuggler's Blues, got all new fuel lines. I bent those up out of aluminum. Not too bad. The brake lines, I did buy a kit. The kit was pretty complete, but it was for a 65. So it did make my life a little easier. I did still have to bend up some lines. A lot of that stuff, you know, if you overthink it, you just basically got to start doing it. You'll hear Pringle later talk about, you know, sometimes you just got to cut shit up, and get shit done and not be afraid to cut stuff up. And that's kind of the way it is, you know, with me. I get out there, start working on the car, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, I don't know how to do this, or I don't, you know, gosh, I'm going to mess it up. It's like, man, ain't none to it but to do it. So I really have enjoyed hands-on with this car. That's what I miss about these long, long, long-term projects. You know, things sit, got to, you know, wait for money for parts and things like that. With this, I've been able to kind of keep steady going, swapping a bunch of stuff out. You know, if I'm waiting on parts, pull off a door panel, clean the window tracks, just do shit that's fun. that's rewarding, get stuff done quick, and, you know, or just messing around, trying to get stuff done quick. So really, really looking forward to this. The car needs next. It needs new tires. The tires are shot. I would venture to say they're probably 30, 40-year-old tires on that car. They are just horrible. They're bias ply. One of them is bald. The exhaust is horrible. It has the original exhaust on it, I'm 99% certain. And it even has asbestos exhaust on it. I was up under the car one day, and it said, I'll have to post the photo. It said, like, asbestos wrapped or something. I'm like, oh boy, that shit, I do not want to be breathing that, I tell you that. Hopefully, before doing it in the dark, I'll at least have some more things done. A couple things I won't mention yet, and I'll be ready to roll and enjoy that car. Now, I want to give a quick shout-out to Daniel, and his last name is C-R-O-Q-U-A-R-T. On Instagram, he's at DMC Chassis Works. He has a clothing line that he's kind of getting off the ground. So if you take a look at his profile, you'll see it. I think it's bottomupclothing, if I recall, .com. I told him I'd give him a quick shout-out. He has a really iconic Toyota truck. So make sure you check him out on Instagram. It's at DMC Chassis Works. Real good dude. Now I'm finishing this audio on Thursday the 15th. And tomorrow's Friday the 16th. A couple recent albums that have dropped, or a few that I've been waiting for. You had the Black Panther soundtrack drop. That was pretty much compiled by Kendrick Lamar. You've heard me talk about K-Dot, which was one of his old aliases. But Kendrick Lamar really compiled this album. I really like it. Check it out on Spotify, Instagram, Google Play Music if you like hip-hop. I was jamming the stuff last weekend up in Pittsburgh on vacation. And man, it just it's just badass. Tonight at midnight, one of the West Coast young cats, a Nipsey Hussle, he's dropping his new long time, it's been years in the making, kind of anticipated, called Victory Lap. We've heard a couple tracks off of it. You know, I'm very anxious to see how this album's going to turn out. Really loved a lot of his early stuff. And then he kind of, I don't want to say changed, but his style, I wasn't really feeling it. And this album so far, the single that he dropped the other day with Kendrick Lamar, which was an awesome feature for him to score, that was a dope track. And then he's got another video that he's launched recently. But huge up-and-coming artist out there. He's got like the Marathon Clothing, which is a spinoff of some of his early mixtapes. The Marathon Continues. One of my homies, Dar, was just out in Cali. He stopped by the store there in Compton, sent me some photos. Looks real, real dope. He's doing a lot of big things, so I'm looking forward to that album and hearing that. Just a reminder for iTunes ratings, go out on iTunes.com or just fire up your PC or Mac. You have to go into the iTunes desktop application or program and go ahead and look for podcasts, look for Our Lifestyle Podcast, and give us a rating. It'll definitely be appreciated. We'll read those on a future episode. Now, our next episode, we're going to talk a lot more about Orange Beach Invasion. We've got some cool tie-ins that will kind of mix it up and really reinforce what a badass show this is. I'll be giving some Lincoln updates for the entire Lincoln scene, including my At Lincoln Addict page. So I'll kind of be reinforcing some of those things. And then we are still going to have Phil Fowler on soon. Many of you are waiting for that interview. As I mentioned, we haven't been able to resync our schedules, but I can tell you it's going to be definitely one of the best interviews. It was very cool syncing up with Phil before. He's a real busy guy, works super long hours, and we'll make sure we get that taken care of. Now, with this being said, this is the third Friday in a row that we've dropped new content. So as I've mentioned in the past, we're not going to be talking about it in 2018. We're going to be about it, and we're bringing the content to you as quick as we can. We're going to see how many episodes we can put out this year with maintaining the quality that we really strive for. So for all the people that have been with us since day one, for all the people that, you know, continue to come on as new listeners, if you've got an iPhone or Android, just subscribe. If you're in Podbean, you can subscribe. If you're in Google Play Music, you can subscribe. If you're on the iPhone or iPad or, you know, Mac, basically go under podcasts and subscribe. Leave a rating if you can. Continue to share the screenshots with the homies like Ruben does all the time. You know, a lot of those apps you can just hit share and send it to your club mates. This is going to continue to be something that we're going to do as long as you guys continue to appreciate it. So thank you guys. Episode 54 and 55 are already in the works. We got that pedal stomped to the metal in 2018. You know how we do it. So thank you, everyone. And let's ride out to a little bit of metal music. And then we're going to hear from the homie Pringle. We out here. Peace.
Can you go? Death row? What a brother, no. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the uncannibal beast. Public enemy number one, 5-4-6 freeze. And I got numb. Can I tell him never really never had a gun? But it's the wax that's the Terminator X-Run.
This interview is brought to you by Hammered Weekend Wear. Make sure you go to hammeredapparel.com. Enter in code OLP. for a 20% discount. This code will expire on midnight Saturday the 17th. So thank you so much to Ron Perkins. He came on recently. He hooked up the Airhead Nation with the 20% off code OLP. Make sure you follow Hammered Weekend Wear on Instagram, and it's hammeredapparel.com. Make sure you use that OLP code. 20% off ends Saturday the 17th at midnight. Peace. Yo, 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 yo. It's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 53. Coming at you live and direct, as I always say. And we got a really special big homie on. His name's Jason Pringle, a.k.a. Pringle. That's what we're going to be calling him. Jay, just want to say what's up, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you? How's things?
Man, everything is good. Thanks for taking the time. It's always great to come on. I know the listeners are going to know who Jay is, and we're going to get into that now. But I just wanted to kind of say, Jason, a.k.a. Pringle, can you give us a little bit of history about yourself? Like, who are you, man?
Well, my name's Jason Pringle. Been into mini trucking for a long time, just like most of the people. I build cars at Condigate Design now. Do a little drawing here and there, and that's about it.
Hell yeah, man. And I see you. It's kind of funny. I know you don't have a big head at all. So, I mean, you're real down the earth. And when I pop on Velocity, which I gave a huge shout out to on last episode, I really, really enjoy the show. We'll get into that. It's always great saying, oh, man, right there, there's Pringle. There's the homie. But, you know, we appreciate your candor. We appreciate, you know, like when we've chatted and I said, hey, we should get you on sometime. You're like, hey, no problem, man. So very badass. And we appreciate that.
No problem.
So we'd like to kind of start off and ask, you know, how did you get involved in the automotive scene, man? Because I know, like you said, you've been doing this a long time, Jay.
Well, my dad, he's an old school hot rodder. He had a 29 Model A that he was building from the ground up when I was a kid. Built the whole frame, hand-built the whole front suspension off of a picture of a TCI ad. He's had a whole bunch of cars, so I basically grew up around him.
Okay.
I didn't really help a whole lot, and so, you know, I was always off being me.
Okay.
Then they didn't have classes in school, so I didn't win there either, but I just ended up in the same thing and just kind of went from there.
Gotcha.
Started off doing car audio, and then one day when Dave first started his business, he asked me to come wire a car. So then I started wiring cars and then started doing fab work on my own stuff, and then just gradually went from there.
Isn't it crazy how, you know, we've talked on this podcast about the mini trucks kind of somewhat, especially on the West Coast, went from BMX bikes into minis. That was the way we expressed ourselves. But car audio, we don't spend enough time talking about that on this podcast. My buddy he's done all the systems that I've ever had, my good friend Paul Lane. But isn't it amazing how car audio really did go hand in hand with the mini truck, and a lot of guys started from that?
Well, of course, you always had to have the big stereo. You always start off, hey, I can do that, and or a guy that can't do it takes it to another shop, who then they end up meeting and having friends.
Yes,
to do it that way, and that's how I met a lot of the people doing that, between stereos and my own trucks that I've had.
Yeah,
over the years.
Another thought on that whole topic. It's crazy how the technology has really progressed. I remember back in the day when my buddy Paul was doing a lot of the systems I had, I always wanted to have like the Alpine equalizer that had this umbilical cord, and you know, you could do so many things with it. But like now the way technology is, like you can put so much into one head unit that does so much. And you know, the amps have gotten a little bit smaller, the speakers have gotten even better, but it's crazy, right? All these years how we still love to get in the truck or our car and just put it in a CD or hook up Spotify, Apple Music, Bluetooth, whatever you're doing, and boom, just ride out, man.
Yep. And then now they even have amps that are all wireless. You don't even have to have a head unit, you can use your phone.
I know, man. I've seen some of that stuff where you can even have, like, to your point, you can just use your iPhone or Android device, and then boom, you don't even have to have the head unit, how it kind of interfaces in. It's just sick how far it's came. But speaking of mini trucks, you know, you had a really badass S10, one of my favorite trucks, because it had a real sick front end. I know you were doing a lot of work on it. You kind of mentioned that you dabbled in fabrication, kind of building, if you will, and that's what you do now. But can you tell us a little bit about the S10 and maybe where it is now?
Well, it was a 97 S10. I had it's kind of a funny story. I bagged it as a joke type deal, you know, because it used to be my daily.
All right.
And I had another truck that I was working on. And then it was on the Memorial weekend. Then the next year, I had made a joke, and my buddy that I live with, he's a mini trucker also.
Okay.
He made a joke saying, "So, didn't you say you're going to body drop it this weekend?" I was like, "Well, no." And then another guy who I used to hang out with, he told me that a body drop couldn't be done in a weekend. I was like, "Whatever." So I did that. I ended up body dropping. He's like, "I'm going out of town. You can use my car." So I had a vehicle to drive to this because I just did it at my work. I used to weld pipe, so we did a lot of detention systems and all that stuff. So I had all the materials and equipment I needed to do it. So I bagged it Memorial weekend 1 year, and then body dropped it the next year. And then the next year I started taking it apart because I wanted to go more show with it. So I started suiciding the doors.
Okay.
And then I think the next year I started the front end, which I I originally was going to go with the Blazer front end.
Yes.
You know, that everyone did. Because S10s are such a pain in the ass to try and make them stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I already had a street scene hood for it. I was going to go with that. I was going to go simple, but I have this problem called BDS. It's called big dick swinging. and I went all out. So I've already shaved the firewall. I decided I was going to do the front end, and I wanted to do round headlights. The square headlights look stupid on it. I've always hated it because it was a 97, so I didn't have the dual lights up front.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what, a round one would look better in it. So I, the guy I worked with, he was swapping his crew cab dually from the round headlight to the dual squares.
Okay.
Which I think looks better on that. So he had that whole front clip just sitting there. So I grabbed those parts, went and started playing with it, cut my grill out just right of where it radiuses out. Because I wanted to keep it all looking the way it, you know, would normally be.
Mm-hmm.
But I cut all that out, put those headlights in. Everyone's like, "That's going to look stupid." And I was like, "No, it's not. You guys have no vision. Whatever. Fuck off." So I put it on, and then I liked it. So then I started creating, you know, the whole shape for it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Extended the hood, extended the fenders, and then later I ended up changing jobs and this, that, and the other, and bought a house. I got married. Oh, no, I got married before that. But basically, life comes along.
Sure.
I worked on it here and there a little bit at a time, and it sat. And then because I had posted pictures of it and did a rendering, and it was in street trucks, or not street trucks, sport truck,
mm-hmm.
Everyone saw it. So it had been copied a couple times, so I had enough. I, you know, too busy with work and the family to really dedicate the time in it. And I was just so irritated and being a bitch about it, I guess you could say, that I was going to part it out.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to take all the parts off. And I worked at a place that had excavation equipment. And I always wanted to see two excavators rip their truck apart and kind of like fight over it type thing.
Right.
And I was at my buddy's wedding reception. And then Kimry, Sean, and Chris from the Colorado chapter, Grand Junction
of Severed.
They had talked George, who now just got in to Severed, to buy my truck and convinced me to sell it to him.
Okay.
Which was kind of a big deal there. I really didn't want to. Like, you guys have till noon tomorrow to get me money, or else just getting cut up. Oh, I got the plasma warmed up. I don't give a shit.
Oh, snap.
You know, when you spend all that time to make something stand out, and then people have to go and be bitches and copy it,
yeah,
then you just get irritated. So S10s are really hard to make them stand out because there's like 50 billion of them.
I know.
As you know.
Yeah, and it's crazy how, you know, things go with projects. Like, I think you summed it up, Pringle, that you have life gets, I don't want to say in the way, but, you know, kids and wives and houses, right, and careers. And like you said, the advice that I would give to anyone is when you're listening to Pringle talk, you know, Pringle has, you know, he's a guy that can build stuff. He's got a lot of skills, way more than I have. I can't fabricate or anything. And it even goes to show you that, you know, projects can get put on the back burner pretty easy. And the one thing that I've always saw that was the common denominator, some my opinion, ODB, is when you blow them apart and they sit, that's what happened to my truck for a long time. And it's not that they can't be finished, but I've seen just so many projects go dormant. Now, the other thing that I thought of, back when I used to live with my roommate, Russ, he was like one of the Severed Florida guys, and, you know, we were real good friends. I remember when he was getting ready to get rid of his truck and had a lot of work in it, and he was like, I'm going to crush it. Well, there was a guy, I want to say it was an 88 to 98 Tahoe. It was two-door, and the guy had...
with the Escalade parts on it.
Yes. Did he reskin the whole thing like craziness? Yep.
And that was half of my motivation to do what I did.
Yes.
Because I was just like him.
You would be...
if I can't have it, no one else can.
Yes. You would probably be one of the only people, because we've talked a little bit about Street Source and different things. And you remember he took it on a... he crushed it, or he did something like that.
He ran it over the bulldozer.
Yes, he did. And that video was out there on Street Source and stuff. And I don't even know YouTube. It's probably out there. I mean, I'd have to really look for it, but... that's crazy. That's what came to mind, Pringle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So. That's basically where I was at with it. And now it's in Grand Junction. It's being finished. It's come a long way. I've seen some pictures of it. It was actually at the 25 year.
Nice.
Well, it wasn't complete. He actually got his logo at that show.
Gotcha. Well, that brings up another truck. And I know the homie is in Subculture, and I think I found him on Instagram, but I didn't save his Instagram name. But you'll know this truck, especially an S10 guy. Years ago, it was featured, and it was called Red Dog.
Right.
And that truck, I remember seeing that S10, and I was blown away. I was like, man, all the mods. I think he was going to do it where, like, the doors open, and, like, the actual, like, the front pillars, like, are, you know, mounted to the cab, and, like, it was just going to be the door, like, almost like a roadster style where the door just opens, and there's no...
yep.
And, I mean, he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and I didn't even realize that truck
sold. It was well
sold.
Past the doors.
Yeah, yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah. It was probably right in the middle of the lower body line, if I remember right.
Yeah, and he even sold that truck, if I remember correctly, because somehow I saw something on Instagram, and he chimed in, and I was like thinking, like, that truck was always synonymous with that one person, and that anymore doesn't really mean much. I mean, we've seen Fester collect some really badass rides and things like that. And I think just people, like you said, we get to a point in our lives where it's not that we don't love the truck or we don't love mini trucking. It's like, you know, a song that I turned my dad on to, we both love Tom Petty, and it was like, it's time to move on. It's time to get going, you know? And sometimes that's what you got to do in life. It takes either that kick in the ass to, like, you know, buy a house or move on to another project, you know?
Yeah, my wife was more upset about it than I was.
Yes, that can
she
happen.
She was all sorts of upset. She was really sad, and I'm like, it's just a truck. I can build another one. That's the whole thing of it.
Yeah.
I can build whatever I want.
And that's what, you know, and that's it. I had a 1500 Suburban. It was like a 95. And I loved the truck. It was bagged. I drove it every day. It was awesome. And I got to the point where it was like the first thing I kind of got rid of that was custom. And I said to myself, you know what? If I really want one, I love those trucks, 88 to 98 Suburbans. I'm like, they're a dime a dozen. I can get another one, start with a blank canvas, and it'll be even nicer than this one, you know?
Right.
That's just the way it goes sometimes. But so if you like thinking ahead, so you get rid of the S10, you got the family, you got the kids, right? You got a nice, awesome family there. What if there was another build, what would it be that would allow you guys to all jump in and go cruise out?
I'm a big fan of wagons. I'd like to do a 55. I did do a drawing of a, I think it was like a 49-ish Merc that someone had turned into a wagon. They basically took a car quarters and put them on the wagon body and redid a whole bunch of things, because those are normally like a Woody.
Yes.
On the sides. So I just saw it and I was like, I want to do a Merc. I want to draw one. And then I saw a picture of that. I'm like, well, that's cool. And then I started looking to try and find more pictures. And I only found three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of the same car. And then I found an actual feature on it. And that's how I found out about it. Well, I was already in the middle of drawing it. So, but I really liked the car. I probably won't build that just because I'm not big on copying things. I like to be original.
Mm-hmm.
So I will probably build something from scratch.
Damn.
From the ground up.
You're like, yep, going for the jugular. Love it.
Yep. So I haven't decided if it'll be a car or a truck or a wagon, but I'm going to build it from the ground up, chassis, everything.
That's sick, Pringle. Well, and I can also, I think you'll be cool with me throwing out there, if you search on Facebook, Street Level Creations, all three words, you'll see a bunch of, we talked a little bit before this, Pringle, kind of a hobby of yours. You can draw.
Right.
You'll see that rendering there. We'll share it via Instagram and whatnot. It's something that I can't do. I've got a buddy over towards Orlando, Rendered by Thor, which is a guy named Jake. Really, really good.
Very talented.
Yes, you've seen his stuff. You're talented.
Oh, yeah.
I can't draw a stick figure. I always wish I could. I remember being in middle school, and I would draw the equivalent of a mini truck, and we put like the raindrops on it, and man, I just sucked. I really, really did. But I so much appreciate someone like yourself that can actually take an idea from your head, put it on paper, because I can't do it, you know?
Right.
So, but
that's funny about the mini truck with the raindrops.
Yes.
That's what I come out of my house one day when I lived in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
I lived there for 3 years during high school.
Okay.
And the rest of the time I've lived in Utah. But I come out of my house and across the street was, I think it was a white Ranger with blue paint splatter raindrop type deal, graphics. And I think it was a convertible.
Nice.
And that was back in, I think, 89.
Dude.
And since then I was hooked on that. So that's kind of what got me started on that.
Yeah, man.
Way back in the day.
Yeah,
dates me a little bit.
Those were for some reason, 1989 to me sticks out in my head so much. Just as a child, mm-hmm. I remember distinctively going and getting baseball cards and ripping them open and just so many cool things that were going on then. You know, Nintendo was out, the Power Glove, just so much just coolness, man. I don't know what it is. It just really brings back good memories there, man.
Yep.
So, Jason, you know, like I mentioned, you're a super humble guy. Many of you know this about yourself. You mentioned that you work at Condigit Designs. I totally love the show Bitchin' Rides on Velocity. If you don't check it, or if you're living under a rug, you need to check it out. But what a business to work for. We did want to just highlight a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about your time there and what you do for the business?
I've been there for about... almost 5 years.
All right.
I started off doing fab. I helped them do the feature liner.
Oh, nice.
And then
really?
Moved on to, I helped build that. Then moved on to help them build some of the other cars, doing fab and whatnot. And then some of the cars were fiberglass, so I got into that because I could do fiberglass, mm-hmm. which is all right. It sucks, but it's cool at the same time.
Is it one of those that takes the P word, patience?
Yep. Yep, that it does. It takes a lot of patience and not being afraid to get dirty, because when you're shaping and grinding and all that stuff, you get itchy.
Yeah, you do, man. I can imagine. I mean, I get itchy just watching people do that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So because I did a good job on one thing, I got to do a bunch.
Nice,
so.
Man. Yeah, the Future
then,
Liner
also
was a crazy vehicle too, but my bad, go ahead.
Yeah, so I also do on the assembly side. So I put the cars together after they're done, because they have a lot of fab guys, so I bounce around a lot.
Okay.
They don't have enough assembly guys.
Do you kind of know, speaking about the topic you're talking about, do you kind of know, like, from week to week what you're doing? So, for instance, like, you obviously know you've got a big build that's going to be debuting. You might be kind of putting that together. Does your schedule kind of stick to that for weeks on end? Or is it like you come in and you're like, hey, we need you in the such-and-such department today? You know, I know it's not that crazy.
Well, at times you think that it's going to be a week-to-week thing that you know what's going on. But any time it can change by the hour.
Gotcha.
Or a minute.
Okay.
It could change mid-sentence.
Yes.
So there's times where, you know, people are better at certain things, or, you know, they will need someone to come look at it, you know, for whatever thing. So it sometimes it changes, sometimes it doesn't. I do a bunch of different things around the shop, so I kind of tend to bounce around for at least a minute or whatever to go and answer this or that or whatever.
We were chatting right before we started, and that's one thing that stuck out of my mind when I was watching the Caddy the Copper Caddy episode, where there's a lot of intricacies, and I always thought it would be awesome to work for a place where there's a lot of different personalities, but you guys can help each other out. You know, it could be like, hey, the end of a long day, and you're like, man, I just got to figure this one thing out. And then one of the homies or coworkers comes over and is like, oh, yeah, you just do this. And, you know, you guys kind of, at least from what we can tell in TV land, we see, you know, a lot of kind of unity. You guys work together, which is badass.
Oh, yeah, for the most part, everyone gets along really well. If someone has an issue or someone sees another way to make it a little faster or easier on the person, they'll say something.
Hell
so
yeah.
It makes it a lot. Yeah. It works better as a team, which is basically what we try to do with the whole thing and do it as a team thing. There's, you know, it's not an I thing.
Dude, so. That's sick. Now I have a confession after one thing I like to do is wiring. Now by all means, I'm not an expert. I mean, I love to do it, but I'm not, you know, looking to open a business. But one of the tools that I bought after watching Condigate Designs is the little tool. I forget which guy was using it. And he was sitting in the back of a car, and it's a little tool it's the wire stripper thing. And you just go click, click, and mm-hmm. It just strips the end of the wires. And just something like that, I'm like, wow, it's amazing.
That's a major time saver right there.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Like, even someone for like me, like, it saved, you know, a little bit of time. But I thought about it when I bought it. I was like, man, for a business as big as, like, Condigate Designs, you got all these guys wiring over years and years and years. Like, a basic tool like that can really come in handy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and when you can't find them, it's a maddening thing.
Because you're like, damn, I got to go back to Idaho, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, Condigate is obviously a really badass shop, and, you know, we see you from time to time on camera. How has the adjustment been getting used to, like, cameras being everywhere? I mean, is it to the point where you now almost don't even realize they're there, or are there times when you're just like, dude, get the hell out of here, it's one of these days?
Oh, there is definitely both, and that could vary depending on the moment. You know, there's just things can go well, and then all of a sudden things don't, because not everything goes smoothly.
Sure, sure.
And in any aspect of anything. So, yeah, and then there's times where they try to get a good shot, but they don't realize that they're in the way.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that.
You're like, I'm trying to put a cab on here.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we both try to, you know, work around each other, obviously without slowing down the process of doing the work.
Yeah, I totally get it. I think one thing that I can appreciate about the show is, you know, years ago, the OCC Chopper Show was really big. And it was funny because my dad used to tell me the story. He remembers seeing an interview with Paul Sr. And he was all pissed. He's like, oh, I can't believe you guys are going to show this arguing and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, it's a hit. It was a hit show. But a lot of it was built on, you know, yelling and slamming and, oh, we're missing a deadline, and it just gets, like, it gets out of hand. And every show after that for years kind of followed that same MO, right?
Right.
It was like the drama and stuff. But, you know, with the shop there, what I see is, you know, again, a lot of the unity, a lot of guys working together. But it's not these, like, crazy, like, oh my God, we're going to meet the deadline. It's little, you know, things that kind of leave you hanging until after the commercials, which all the shows
right.
have. But it's nothing that's like the Paul Sr., Paul, you know, Jr., all that craziness.
Right.
Which was cool.
Yeah, it's we wanted to. That was one of the main stipulations, was no stupid fake drama.
Yeah, it's like it gets to a certain point.
It's irritating and it's way overdone and it's not real. So we wanted to focus on the cars, which is basically what the show's about, not about the individuals.
Yeah, and you nailed it. There's enough real shit to keep a good badass show going that you don't need the fake shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, I totally get it. But, you know, I'll say that, you know, mini truckers like yourself, you've really kind of set the bar in the scene. And what I mean by that is it's really just humbling to see someone like yourself and so many others that have kind of moved up the ranks. Like one of our friends, Jeff at Devious Customs, you know, old NC guy.
Right.
You know, a lot of businesses that are, you know, you put your stake in the ground and, you know, you've kind of moved up, if you will, and you work for a very successful place. And I just can't tip my cap enough and say, dude, man, it's badass, bro.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. Now, the listeners may appreciate this question, but, you know, how is the work-life balance working for a top shop like Can Dig It? You know, I ask because one of the early famous hot rod shows I kind of alluded to, but, you know, this one's Boyd Connington. They portrayed super long hours on every build. You know, I mean, is shop life there pretty much like an 8-to-5 the majority of the year? Or is there any insight you can give us there?
Well, it's more of a 7-to-5.
Okay.
Depending, you know, there's some that come in a little later, some come in leave a little earlier. But there's times where it's all out. We got a lot of cars to get done. You know, sometimes there's, you know, the show deadline or the show car show deadlines.
Sure.
We have to meet. But it's not always like that. It's just occasionally here and there, which is like that in anything, you know. SEMA Thrash is real. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. It happens in not every year or every show, but there's sometimes where we gotta, you know, sometimes things take a little longer than they should in some processes, you know, or something doesn't work. They had to do a little more there or whatever, or something didn't come in that was supposed to. So it's just it's usually just because of extenuating circumstances.
Gotcha.
And then,
yeah, well, I appreciate you sharing some insight about the TV, you know, business side of it. You know, we didn't want to, you know, take up the entire interview with it, but, you know, we know it's kind of intriguing to us that aren't in that world. And, you know, I know one of the sister shows I was watching today, which is Texas Metal with Bill Carlton. He's been around a long time, and we wish, you know, extensive lots of success with their whole Velocity venture. But like I said, it's great that we've gotten to a point like in our lives where we could be like, oh, I know these guys, or man, we've been going to shows. I think we first met Bill and saw him at shows and, you know, weren't really hanging out with them. But like, you know, at Nopey 99, you know, Showfest 2000, you know, dragging the dualies and stuff. And, you know, you think, you know, 15, 18, 20 years later, it's like, boom, all this hard work has paid off. So, you know, again, congrats. Yep. It seems like it's a great business, and, you know, we're happy to be able to say, oh, yeah, there's Pringle, man. There's the homie right there. So that's cool. But switching gears back to kind of, you know, the you know, who Pringle is, I know that you've got a love for metal music. I know it's a form of music I don't know a lot about, but I know a lot of different songs, and I there's so many out there. But can you tell us about your addiction to metal?
I've always liked speed metal, I guess you could say. Anything fast, and that includes, I like fast rap also. I like anything but country.
Yep.
Most things but country.
Sure.
But yeah, the faster the better. I like I think the pace of it helps me work faster. A lot of people will say that, you know, metal music makes them want to throw things and kill people. That's what country does to me. I can actually listen to metal and focus.
That's
so
awesome.
And any true metalhead will completely agree with that. Right, Ruben?
Yeah, the homie Ruben.
Yeah. Ruben's a metalhead too.
I always think of when I was growing up, Anthrax and the Public Enemy. I love how they did that mashup. I mean, so many years ago, Anthrax would really jam out. It's crazy to me what music can do for someone individually, because for me, like a lot of people know, like I like gangster rap. You know, I like the old school. I like, you know, Ice Cube, NWA, a lot of, you know, California stuff. And like sometimes I'm in the car, I've got my, you know, my headphones on at work and stuff, and I'm listening to like some crazy shit. Like guys talking about they're going to come and rob you and kill you and come in your house, some Ice-T shit.
Right.
And I'm like, the average person, if they knew what I was listening to, they're like, what the hell is going on in his head? But it's weird how music can get you through certain things. And like for me, if I'm running on the treadmill or I'm out jogging, like, man, some gangster rap talking about they're going to do some shit, that really gets me motivated. So I can see the flip side with the metal music.
Right. I can't work without music. I have to have, I can't deal with silence or just the sound of equipment. I have to, music gets me through the day, always has.
Yep.
So that's basically how I get by.
Speaking of music, so this just came to mind, you know, you talking about you got to have music to get through the day. Are you like a subscriber to like a Spotify or Apple Music, or are you kind of like a Pandora?
Google Play.
Okay, Google Play. Boom.
I had Pandora, listening to it forever, and then the ads kept getting more and more, and it kept doing the are you still listening shit and
ratcheting it up. Yep.
Yeah, ended up going to Google Play, and I like it better.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about Google Play Music is if you've got an extensive collection, you can download the Google Play uploader, and you can upload, right. You know, if you've got a, you know, people like me, I got a lot of music on my iTunes and stuff, but you can, boom, upload it. It'll search your entire computer, and it's awesome because I even use the Google Play Music app on my iPhone. And I'm able to, like, if I'm at a party and I'm like, oh, I got to hear this song, or, you know, somebody's like, put on the jam, you know, I can go in there and search and boom, I've got all my shit. But yeah, man.
Rewind it, play it again.
Yes, put on a repeat.
Yep.
Dr. Dre, keep the heads ringing. So yeah, man, music is great. So appreciate that. But so you've lived in Virginia, as you mentioned, for a few years. And of course, you call Salt Lake City, Utah home. Do you enjoy it more west or east coast, or any preference?
I like the east coast. I live by the beach, so that was cool. But I've always been here. There's a lot to do here. I don't know why I hate the snow. For some reason, I just can't leave.
I got you.
I don't get it. but yeah, there's so much to do out here. There's beautiful sights and all that stuff. You know, mountains, sand dunes, camping, fishing. Dinosaur stuff. My kid loves dinosaurs, so we go down, and the couple places that we've gone down here that you can see all kinds of different fossils and whatnot.
Man, it is a great place. A few years ago, my buddy, my co-host, I should say, Mike Murray, we went to SEMA, and then we took a day away to go over to the homie Graham's house. And Graham lived in, I want to say it's Washington, Utah.
Yeah.
And it was about...
It's just by St. George.
Yes, it was a few hours away from SEMA, like, I don't know, two maybe. And it was so beautiful. We went to some state park out there where it was like that real fine sand. And we went on the side-by-sides. We went...
The red rocks and all that stuff.
Yeah, for hours. And we were just, you know, it's like one of those where, you know, you're with people that know where they're at. And you kind of just look around and you're like, wow, we're not anywhere near civilization. And there was something really relaxing about that.
Oh, yeah.
You could pick the sand up in your hand and it just literally... I don't know, just like, I can't describe it. It just falls out of your hand, you know? Or you got brand new shoes on, and it's like you just jam your feet down in the sand, and then you pull them up, and it's like sand's gone, you know? It just, it was amazing. It's an amazing place out there, man.
Yes, it is. That's probably part of why I can't leave. There's just so much to see.
Yeah,
you can go any direction for a little bit, and you have a completely different area. You know, you got the Salt Flats, which is about an hour and a half away from me. Mountains. I'm basically in a bowl of mountains.
Snowboarding's
big, snowboarding,
right?
If you want to do that, and I forgot to mention that, and there's tons of that. I just don't do it, but
yeah,
you can do it here. All kinds of different Olympic places out here, which I think they might be coming back.
Yes, I know. Well, it's funny because before we started, I mentioned tonight is we're recording on Tuesday, and I'm going to watch Shaun White. Today's the 13th. I'm going to watch Shaun White. He's competing for gold, I think, tonight. I know last night I watched the first of his two, and he had like a 93.25. And I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm exhausted. Yeah, he's getting, you know, pretty much knew he's getting in. But it's definitely an exciting sport. I've always liked to watch skateboarding and whatnot. And skateboarding is going to be added, if I remember correctly, to the Olympics 2020. So they're doing a good job of trying to mix it up because
that's
I can
cool.
only watch so much of that curling shit and all that, you know?
Yeah, some of the old stuff's got to go.
Yeah. And I mean, I can appreciate it. There's certain parts of the country, like, okay, you know, hockey's big where my wife's family's from. And, you know, there's that kind of stuff, and which is totally cool. But I was joking with some of my family, and we were talking about, you know, boring sports. So I was like, you know, like shot put, that's probably like one of the oldest sports out there. It's like, you know, thousands of years ago, they're like, what the hell you want to do?
Yeah.
They're like, let's throw rocks.
Throw a ball.
Exactly. Let's work for like 10 years and smooth this rock into a ball, you know, and then we're just going to shot put it. It's like, okay.
But, see how far someone can throw it.
Right.
Without hitting anybody.
Yeah, and then that goes back to that acronym you used earlier, BDS. You know,
yeah,
that's craziness. But man, listen, I know you know you got a beautiful family with the wife and the kiddos, and you know you're balancing that work life deal. And we appreciate you coming on. Was there anything else that you wanted to share, Pringle, with Airhead Nation OLP listeners?
Don't be afraid to cut something.
Hell yeah, man! That's good advice from Pringle.
That's the way I was. I was never afraid to cut something. That's how you learn. Do research. It never hurts to research. Watch how people do things.
The good and bad.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, learn how people fail and learn how people succeed. That's how I got to where I was. I'm not the best by any means, but I'm not the worst either.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, just being able to go out there and buy a book, it's amazing what you can learn from people that have already done things their entire lives. And they write a book and you're like, oh, it's that easy? You know, they make it seem easy. And I was going to come up with like a cool Abraham Lincoln quote since his 209th birthday was the other day about books, but I couldn't find one in time, you know, but he's got a bunch of good quotes out there. Go read some quotes from Abraham Lincoln. But you can follow Pringle on Instagram. It's WARPED, warped underscore S10. It's got some cool stuff he shares. I think that was cool that we gave that out, right, Pringle?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
There won't be a lot. Just make sure they know there won't be a lot of the show stuff because obviously I can't post it.
Yeah, yeah, which is badass. But, you know, a lot of you guys are already, you know, watching. Make sure you check out the show. And before I forget, because I almost forgot to squeeze this in, after we talked a little bit the other day in text or Messenger, I saw the post that you put on Instagram, Pringle, of the COE, the cab over, your dad's truck on AccuAir.
Yeah.
Beautiful blue and black color. It's up on the wheel stand type deals. And man, what a badass truck. Can you just give us a quick inside or a little bit of insight on that truck?
Well, my dad had bought about a half done project and then had to fix a bunch of things. I had to fix the roof.
Mm-hmm.
They had basically stuck a 1x2 box tubing rectangle in the roof and flattened it, which didn't make sense. I don't know if they were going to put in a sliding rag or a sunroof or whatever, but basically I put a whole new roof on the top of it. My dad and my brother and then the other two guys that work for my dad, they built the bed and redid the rear suspension because it was all wrong.
Gotcha.
Like off an inch to one side, which is really bad for a four-link. So he's making that into a hauler so he can haul his Roadster 27 or his 27 Roadster. There's a 27 chop top that I've been working on for him. He's got a 29 Model A, and eventually he'll get around to finishing his 56. So it'll be his hauler truck that he can, you know, take two cars to a show or
hell yeah,
drive it around or whatever, pick up more projects because he likes to do that too.
Yeah, and if you scroll through Pringle's Instagram feed, you'll see a lot of the vehicles he's talking about. It's really cool to see the progression on some of these. I think the Model A I'm looking at now and stuff. It's great, man. I love seeing metal work done and kind of the raw form. He's got a picture of his S10 on there, of course. And, you know, we'll share some of this as well with the listeners once this podcast posts later this week. But we certainly appreciate you taking the time, Pringle. We really do. Like I mentioned a minute ago, that work-life balance is big with the fam and the successful company that you work for and whatnot. And we just tip our caps to you guys, man. Everybody there at Kindika Designs, it's an honor just to watch the show. I follow Dave and Kev Dog on Twitter, and Kev Dog's also on Instagram now. So,
yeah.
No, like I said, Pringle, it's been an honor, bro. And, you know, anything else for the listeners, homie?
No, I can't think of it. Thanks for having me on. And
dude,
what's up, Airhead Nation? All that fun shit.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, we appreciate you. And we just want to say, anytime, you know, if you got something cool, you want to come on and talk about it, just hit us up or we'll do the same. And we just want to say, man, keep up the great work, homie.
Alrighty.
Peace.
Peace.
Yo, it's ODB, so thank you so much for listening thus far. Make sure you check out sparklesdetail.com and place an order. Also, Orange Beach Invasion returns to Alabama Gulf Coast during spring break weekend. It's located in beautiful Orange Beach, Alabama at the Wharf. It's promoted by Greg Miller of Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party, with his partners Robbie Bryant of Keg Media, which also puts on Slammily Reunion and Lifted Truck Nats. These two dedicated show promoters came together last year and brought this show to you with over 20,000 spectators. Title sponsor is Sparkles Detail. Make sure you go on Facebook and type in Orange Beach Invasion. It's the weekend of March 16th through March 18th. Miggity Mike the Mayor and I, including ST Vic, we will be there. It's the premier show on the Gulf Coast. Can't wait to see y'all there. Make sure you hit like on the page. Peace.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, or sometimes I rhyme quick. I'm sweeter and thicker than a Chico stick. Here's an ice cream cone, honey, take the lick. I'll go to Bay Plaza and catch a flick. Want my Timberland boots so I can stomp the ticks. Scandalous, get a whiff of this mist. Just left the yard, boy, now I'm blessed. I feel good, per se, good state of mind. Drive a red Sterling and the seats recline. I love it when a lady treats me kind. Go to tavern on the green, I have a glass of wine. He say, she say, I heard it through the grapevine. No static, got an automatic. Too much of anything makes you an addict. Teasing, skeezing, all so pleasing. Don't ask why, I got my own reasons. Smooth beat, great, nice, slick, nick, click. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. I was on 125 in St. Nick, waiting on a cab, standing in the rain. Under my heart, three clouds of pain. She got the best of me, what was her destiny? Maybe I should lick her with my 9mm. My mind is in a blur, cause you could never pay me to think this would occur. Me and this girl, Jane Doe, was living together. We were inseparable, no one could sever. At least that's what I thought, but later I fought with a substance and almost ended up in Supreme Court. When I was on the road doing shows, getting ends, she was in my Benz getting sniffy with her friends. And even when she crashed my whip, I didn't flip. My man Slick Nick said, smooth, you're starting to slip. Time went on, I started noticing weight loss. Then I had to ask her, was she riding a white horse? At first she said no. Then she said, yo, smooth, I'm sorry, but I keep having visions of snow, I need blow. And I said, whoa, little hottie, I'm not DeLorean, Gambino, or Gotti. I don't deal coke, and furthermore, you're making me broke. I'll put you in a rehab, and I won't tell your folks. And what do you know? At 18 months, she came home, and I let her back in. And now she's sniffing again. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick.